You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. My name is Michael Kushner, and I'm so happy you're listening to this next episode. I feel like every intro of my episodes start like that. I'm like, I am glad you're here, but I am.
Because it's exciting.
I have Lindsay Lavin here today. Lindsay Lavin is one of my best friends, and she's a klutz.
The biggest klutz.
Yeah, first of all, like in the studio, you knock things over all the time.
And
like,
I just knocked into something a second ago. So,
so we're on brand. Mm-hmm. Before I even like introduce you and tell you like who you are, I like to do like level playing field, and I want to know about your day. So tell me your rose and your thorn of your day.
Oh, I guess I did literally nothing today, you guys. So the rose of my day was probably getting really cute pictures of my nieces before school. So I woke up to some really, really cute photos.
Yeah.
And then the thorn was probably just trying to get here in the rain.
Yeah.
That was it.
The city literally does not know how to compute when it starts to drizzle.
No, it's not good.
But my commute was pretty good. My New Year's resolution was like to not have a resolution. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Is to be like, just like keep living your life the way that you're living it. But one of like my goals is to like not Uber as much.
Oh.
And well. So I'm really, I know, but I'm really trying to just take that train. I'm really just trying to do it.
Yeah, I get it.
And it pulled, and it came through today, got me.
For Midtown, I feel like it's easier for you.
Yeah, for sure. Because if I hop on the A or the C, mm-hmm. I'm in Midtown in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So if it's really working, then I'm there in like 15 minutes and it's good.
Right.
So, Linz.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a multi-hyphenate? I say that a multi-hyphenate is an artist who has multiple proficiencies across pollinate, self-flourish, professional capabilities. You hear that all the time because I say that to clients in the studio. How would you describe yourself as one?
So I would describe myself as a multi-hyphenate because, I mean, in the literal sense, I am a performer and I'm also a makeup artist.
Right.
And that's just right now is mostly what I'm doing are those two things.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, so doing makeup keeps me in the, you know, in the industry. And so when I'm not in a show, I'm still surrounded by people in the industry. And so it's always moving me forward. And I get to be creative, and it's amazing. And I get to be with you almost every day.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. But other than that, I mean, I've been in the city for almost 12 years, so I've done so many things since I've lived here. And, you know, I've always just kind of hustled and figured it out. And I think it's exciting and fun to find new things, because once I'm doing something for too long, I'm probably getting super bored of it after a while.
Yes.
So,
I've experienced that from you firsthand.
Yes, exactly. Anybody who knows me knows this is true. So, so I feel like I definitely fit in the multi-hyphenate world.
Now you, you know, I think the question that I get is like, how do you start? Like what, how do you even start doing this thing? And you got introduced to show business through one of the leading multi-hyphenates, and that's Seth Rudetsky.
Yes.
Can you tell me about your start to the industry and how you kind of just got here?
Yeah, for sure. So I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, and you know, I majored
Lindsay in... Lindsay is like the fiercest vocalist. It's amazing. She's amazing.
So I majored in voice and songwriting, and I was just in like the musical theater club. Like, I did not really do musical theater, but being in the musical theater club did show me that my voice lent itself, you know, to theater, and that I liked it, because I didn't really grow up doing a lot of theater at all. So when MySpace was still a thing and I had my cool music that I wrote on MySpace, somebody from high school reached out to me and was like, hey, I work at Sirius Radio. If you ever needed anything, let me know. And I immediately responded and was like, yes, I need something. Like, I thought I wanted to work at Sirius Radio. And I was like, what better way to like merge both things? Like, you know, because my school would tell us like it would be awesome to work at a radio station. So I was like, I want to work at a radio station, but like the Broadway channel, like how cool would that be? So I was like, can you get me Seth's info? And he immediately got it. And there was only like a few months left of school. I was a senior, and I emailed him. I didn't hear back. I followed up like a month or two later. I think maybe he got back to me like, I'll look into it. But then it was like a week before graduation, and I didn't know what I was going to be doing. And I knew I wanted to move to New York, but I didn't know, like, I needed a reason. And it was a week before graduation. I was done with my last final, literally taking a tequila shot in my apartment. And a New York number calls me, and it's Seth calling me directly, just being like, hey, you know, he's like, hey, girl, you can't work, you know, at Sirius because you have to be a student to like be an intern there. But like, just move to New York and be my assistant. And he didn't know me. And it was like the craziest thing ever. Yeah. And it was so cool. And I moved here and stayed with my sister-in-law for a few weeks before I found a place. And then after working with him for like a month, he was like, I have some time. Let's sit at the piano, because he had never heard me sing. And I sang for him. And then he started just putting me in whatever he could. And he's literally the most amazing human being ever.
I want to point out that Lindsay is going to mention her family members about 92 times in this 100%. Podcast. And just want you to know that like she has 1,600 cousins. She has how many?
I have 5 nieces and nephews, 1 on the way, so will be 6, and actually another one too. My cousin's son, I consider my nephew. And, you know, just I'm obsessed with my family.
No, you are, and I love it. I'm obsessed with your family too. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is the lesson out of that? Like, what do you think someone, a younger artist that is like, how do I start? What can they take away from that?
Honestly, it's like about not being scared to reach out. And it's not about not having any shame, obviously, but it's kind of like you just have to go for it. Like, I was nervous to like send multiple emails to Seth. He had never heard of me. You know, this was like so random, but I was like, the worst that could happen is he never responds.
Right.
But that's not what happened. You just have to take the risk. You have to take the, you know, you just have to go for it.
I think that's such a common theme in this industry is like, I brought this up in a previous episode, but it's like, if you are worried about bothering someone, you're in the wrong industry.
Right.
You have to knock down doors until you get an answer, whether it is yes or no.
Right.
In my experience, if I do get a no, I will keep the door open for possibility in the near future.
Of course.
Or like leave that correspondence very positive and very open. And then if I do need something again, be like, hey, we had that great conversation a few months ago about this. I was wondering if we could actually modify that request and do this.
Yeah.
And
you just, every situation is going to be different.
Right.
And obviously you have to read that, you know, as it comes, but you can't be afraid because like, the person you're emailing probably did that millions of times to somebody else.
Right, right, right.
So like you have to just remember that like everyone's been where you've been at one point, mm-hmm. and they get it. And again, like you said, if they said no, that's okay, because they're not like doing it to be mean. They probably just couldn't make it work in that time.
Yeah.
And you never know what could happen down the line.
Right.
So keep it positive, obviously, always.
Or, you know, figure out what is the best situation for the two of you to do. Like, there have been a lot of up and coming photographers that have, emailed me being like, can I watch you work in the studio? And right. that for me crosses a boundary. Like, I don't feel comfortable with that just because like I have my little bag of tricks that I like to,
totally.
You know, that that you're only going to get if you're shooting with me.
Right.
I'm not going to give away my goodies just with you sitting in the corner and then my clients like, what's going on? Why is this person staring at me? Like, but what I did do was I followed through with one of the photographers that emailed me, and I said, well, I don't feel comfortable with that, but why don't you shoot me? Why don't you photograph me? And then I can give you feedback in the moment.
Totally.
And that was good. And then I wound up paying her afterwards, and she didn't want to take my money, but I was like, I think the biggest thing that you can learn is to take someone's money and to understand when to take someone's
right.
money.
Like, for sure.
You know what I mean? But I think that as long as you find, you know, a relationship, you start your relationship, how do you relate to each other? Then I think that person can get something out of the deal just as much as you can.
Yeah. There's always room for that. Like, it's just going to depend on the person and what you need. But the literal bottom line is like, you have to go for it. And, you know, I think one of the most things that I get from like friends, you know, because one of the most things,
only I would call out
the
Lindsay
first
for that.
One. There's going to be many more of these things that I say that make no sense. So one of the things I get the most from my friends, there we go, is like, they'll be like, you know, I want to reach out to this person, but I'm scared. Or like, is this like, you know, they'll have me read an email like 50 times before they send it. And I'm like, I just don't think that the stakes are that high. I right. think that you should feel like you're on the same like level in a way, because these are eventually going to be your peers. If it's someone that like you idolize or look up to, you want to eventually be working with them. So you have to sort of give out that energy too. Like
yeah.
it can't just be like nervous, you know, energy getting sent to them, and right. they'll be like, I can't, you know, they might just say no because they don't want to deal with it or whatever. But yeah.
You have to put in the work. You have to be able to like create the package, really, you know.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have to make yourself be as presentable as possible, but it never hurts to at least just send that email, and then you can always learn and see, okay, I didn't need to include that in the email, right. or I didn't.
Exactly.
But so now your journey into makeup, how did that happen?
So basically, Michael. So Michael and I met. This is our love story. We met doing one of Seth's shows. We met doing one of his Concert for Americas. I think it was the first one.
Yeah.
And it was actually like one of the most emotional ones, because it was like the start of it all. And like when he got elected, we'll say he.
Yeah.
And
it was an amazing night.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And we met backstage through our friend. And I think I had already given you my deposit because I was shooting with you.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what you looked like, and I didn't.
You already
know
gave
you.
Me a deposit.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, wait, I'm going to see you in like a few weeks. And so that kind of like broke the ice. And then I think the next time we hung out was when I did the shoot. But I think we went to the movies that night. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And
because Max assisted, our mutual friend is Max
right.
Crum.
We like met him at the movies or something.
Yeah.
And then like we just started hanging out. And then you were like, you know, your makeup always looks pretty on point. Like, would you ever be interested in like subbing? I need more people. And I don't like doing anything half-assed. So I was like, let me like take some time,
yeah.
practice on friends. Cause I've always had a knack for it, especially performing and, you know, being in shows my whole life. Like, you have to do your makeup. And lots of times I would do it for my friends that were in shows with me. So I've always loved it, but it never like occurred to me that it could be a career for myself.
Right.
But like I said, I would never jump into something like that without taking like every, you know, learning everything I can. So I took the time, and I would send you like pictures constantly. Like,
yeah.
I just did this person's makeup, and like, I'm doing my makeup right now. Like, I would be practicing constantly. And finally I was like, okay, I'm ready. I think I can do one.
Yeah.
And it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing.
And you're amazing at it. And you have such great bedside manner. And because that's half of it. I mean, sure,
totally.
You could paint a face, but it's like, how do you respond in the studio? And that's why I trust you so much, because you are so good at that. And I just feel like makeup is a really interesting hyphen to add to your artist identity, because like there are things that we can do simultaneously, but not maybe in the moment. Like I can't photograph and be in a show at the same time.
Right.
But you can do that. Like if it is a benefit concert, like backstage, you can do other people's
makeup.
Which
I have done.
Exactly. And also still perform in it. So exactly. It's a really kind of lucrative skill, you know, that you can
absolutely
kind of balance at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, so after I stopped working for Seth, I kind of found more personal assisting jobs or like nannying jobs, and it was soul sucking. Hated it. Just like, I mean, I did it forever. I mean, there's also one other thing that I did that I was actually very proud of, which we can talk about, but which is like another hyphen to my, you know, thing. But this is by far, like doing makeup is, I mean, it has literally become a second career, second passion, but I've never been happier with like, quote unquote, a side job, which is hard to call it that at this point. But I mean, if you want to say it that way, this has just been, I mean, and obviously I owe it to you, which has like been incredible. But yeah, this has been just the, if you can find something that you are just happy and excited to do when you're not in a show and still make money doing it. Nothing into everything. You guys, I'm not even drunk. This is how
I'm not even
in
drunk.
Our studio, I trip over lights.
You every are a 5 liability.
But so yeah, if you can find something, and I know it's easier said than done, and I've done all of the other shitty ones. Like I get it, but I knew that this was something that I liked, or, you know, just we probably had many conversations about it even before I started. Like you just have to find those weird ins, those doors to open. That's something I've been pretty good at. And I'm,
I always say that if you see a hole, you have to fill it.
Sure do.
I know that it sound like it's just going to sound sexual, but it's true. Like if you see a window of opportunity, then you have to dress that window, baby.
You have to wave through it.
Wave through it. Weave. Yeah, but it's true though. It's like you have to see where there are things missing.
Right.
And be able to just kind of be like, this is where I'm the first person to do this. I'm not, you know what I'm, and really just like cultivate that. And look, people will look at you like you are insane.
Yeah.
When I started photography, people that have known me for very long would be like, so like, how's Michael Kushner photography going?
Totally. Cause it's jealousy. Cause they didn't do it themselves, you know, put in the effort to do it themselves.
Yeah. And now it's quite the opposite reaction. And it's like, it's just a matter of sticking to your guns and literally, well, I'm anti-gun, but it's sticking to your, you know, impulses and really figuring out what you want to do and doing it.
Yeah,
good. I was like, what am I trying to say?
It is, but
I get distracted by a horn and down 40 flights. And
amazing.
Like,
this view is distracting. It's so amazing.
Beautiful, right?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
No, it is like, it is really important to be creative in finding things that you might not typically do. So like, you know, I didn't know that I was going to make up a career, but I did always do people's makeup, you know, for even if I was just getting ready with a girlfriend, I would do their makeup. And like, I think it makes complete sense that this ended up happening in my life. Yeah. But like, you know, like I said, I'm sure before, I don't think it was such a black and white conversation between you and I, like, your makeup looks good. Do makeup for me. I think like we probably were having like a conversation about something that just led to this happening. And I think that you just have to constantly put yourself in those situations.
Right.
You know, and plus you have to do the work. Like you wouldn't have ever trusted me in doing makeup for someone's headshots, which is such a huge deal.
Right.
If you didn't, you know, if I hadn't proven to you that I was capable, and I chose to put in the work to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so many people are so thrilled with what you do in the room. And, you know, you do create such a great space where it's like, if you don't like anything, please tell me and we will fix it.
Absolutely.
You know, you do. I mean, that is something that is said in the studio a million times. So,
For sure. So
we let the client really feel like they have
the opportunity to just
agency.
Yes, exactly. And I think it also comes from like the many times that I've gotten my hair and makeup done for weddings or whatever it may be, and like actually being scared of saying that I didn't like something because I was scared to offend them.
Right.
But like, I don't have that feeling.
It's also not about us.
Right. That's exactly the point. Like, this couldn't be less about me. Why would I ever have an ego about it?
Right, exactly.
Like, the point is to make them feel good. So like, please tell me. Like, that's so important to me, because the last thing I'd want is for them to actually be unhappy and like leave. And those were the photos, you know,
Yeah.
So it's just like, I think that I try to do what I can to make them feel as comfortable as possible to say like, too much eyebrow, too much. Well, you know, like, just tell me.
Do you have any tips for someone that's about to get their headshots and they are getting hair and makeup with their photos? What should they do to prepare? What sort of questions should they have?
I think like it's obviously a little more specific to each makeup artist or hair person. I think that good questions to ask are like, when it comes to hair, like, should I come with my hair dry? Should I come with my hair wet, clean, dirty? Like, for instance, I like, you know, a second day dry hair so that I can easily curl it or wave it or whatever I need to do.
I love that Britt is like so intrigued. She's like, okay, like, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about my face.
Like, oh my God, 100%.
You were literally staring at her like, okay, cool. I love that.
I love that too. I didn't notice, but I love it. Those are good questions when it comes to hair. Be specific about what you're looking for. Like, if you want, you know, a blowout, or if you just want curls, if you want it straight, whatever you're looking for. And then for makeup, I would say, you know, a lot of people say like the week before they do lots of face masks, and which, you know, is great. And I definitely think you should. I'm not the best at doing those things. I'm not going to lie. It's just never been a part of my routine.
Right.
I moisturize. That's like a given because I have such dry skin, especially in the winter. But know your skin type. Know if your skin, if you have dry skin or if you have more like oily skin, because the foundation we use might be different. Like, if you say you have dry skin.
That's the third time you knocked into
it. I won't be knocking because I keep my headphones keep sliding because I'm doing the one off.
Yeah. Like, you know. You're so funny.
Guys, it's Mariah. A process. Exactly. I'm living my Mariah dreams. So, know your skin type. I think that's super important. And have an idea, if you can, of what you're looking for. Pictures are everything.
Yeah, we love pictures.
Come with pictures. Because if you do have trouble explaining what you want, it's in a picture. And then I'll be like, done. No problem.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you don't have a picture and you do have trouble explaining, I'll get there with you.
We can look someone up on our phones.
Right. We will get there. But I think if you're listening and you are wondering the best way to do it, it is like, think about who people have told you you look like.
Yeah.
You know, a celebrity or that you think you look like, and look up all of their photos. Look up on a casual day, look up like when they're at the Oscars or whatever, the Tonys, whatever the case may be. And just like just be in the know. That's really all you can do, because we will work together and I love collaborating. But like, anything you can tell me is always good.
That's why I always, you know, talk about specificity. And,
yes.
You know,
well, Michael's amazing at getting the most specific everything out of his clients. So that's like the most helpful and like amazing thing for me because it helps me too for that, like get them what they are looking for.
I just, you know, it's if you're going to go out for a job, if you're going to send in a photo for something specific, it needs to have an energy and a focus and a really for specific sure. It needs to evoke a very specific emotion. And it 50% of that is the look yeah. of it as well. So that's all really, really great information.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway with that is to just communicate and be really specific.
Absolutely.
And also to, not be afraid
that's what I was gonna say.
Communicate.
And to say if you don't like something.
Yeah. I think
I will not be offended. Like there's maybe been a few times where like it might have just been in the way someone said something that like might have gotten to me or me just feeling bad if they didn't like love something. But like
right.
it's literally I can't even tell you like I don't look at it that way at all. I just know how important this day is, especially as an actor, which I yeah. think is really cool to be able to relate in that way with everyone who comes in. But like, I know that they're paying for this. I know that they're nervous most of the time. And yeah. that all I want to do is make them feel comfortable.
Now it's interesting that you brought, you know, especially as an actor, that's what you said. It's interesting that you bring that up because you have shared with me some really cool recent discoveries of yourself as a performer. Since you've started doing makeup, can you share some of those things?
So because I found this love for makeup and it's actually been, you know, keeping me very busy, which again, thank you to Michael, because he's amazing and everybody goes to him, should go to him. I'm starting to feel fulfilled in, which I never thought could happen in another aspect of the industry, which no matter what, I will never stop performing. I was just in an off-Broadway show and I am always doing concerts and all of that good stuff. But like, it's interesting that I actually do feel so fulfilled. So that being said, in doing something else. So that being said, what I've expressed to Michael is that, I now feel like I can be even more like picky and specific about the things that I want to go out for. And, you know, I don't feel like I need to be necessarily at everything and anything and be seen by everyone and anyone because I'm, you know, I didn't go to school for theater and I, more than anything, singing is my number one passion. And so as long as I feel like I'm doing things in singing and being in concerts or being in shows that like spending the most time that I can preparing for the one audition that I really want to be in
right.
that I don't beat myself up over that anymore
right.
because I feel so happy doing more than one thing and I'm still surrounded by the industry. So it's like really awesome. So it's helped me just be more specific in what I'm looking for and not feel like I need to, like, you know, when I first moved here and I was literally doing, like, waking up at the crack of dawn and right. being at everything, which, you know.
I wish that for everyone.
Yeah.
Because I do think that as artists, as actors, as performers, that we really should only go out for the things that we know we can book,
right.
not that we think we can or my agent really wants me to go out for this. Because when you spend your energy on these very specific things, I think that you go in more prepared. And
absolutely.
I think that you feel a little more connected to the actual piece.
Right.
I see so many artists go out for so many things that a question that I ask in the studio is, tell me some of the auditions that you've been going on lately. You know, I want to know so I can like use that as a common denominator to figure out some of the feels for these photos. And I can't get an answer because I think that there's so much saturated information.
For sure.
That it's like you can't, there's so much that you can't even pull out one one audition, one breakdown.
Right. Well, because exactly, it's oversaturated and they are driving themselves crazy thinking that they have to go to everything, that I don't think that they're focusing literally like on themselves. Like it's just what they think is supposed to be. It's not what they personally would like excel at.
Right. And I think that that's the one thing. It's like, you know, when I talk to, it can be clients, it could be friends, it could be whoever. It doesn't necessarily have to be a very, a particular relationship. But I think one of the frustrations is that I think that there's so much going on, so yeah. much diluted energy that if it was just focused more, and you gave your goodies away in
the one thing that you really yeah. wanted. Well, think about, and I feel a little like disconnected from this world at the moment, but like that hairspray call that just happened,
right.
which I was just like, wow, nothing has ever made me feel better about my choices because right. I'm not going to stand in the freezing cold for hours. And I heard that they broke it down to 4 bars
yeah,
in
four
the room.
Bar cut.
I don't even know what that is. Like, what yeah. is that?
It's literally just,
And like, you know? I mean, you know, it's just the end of a phrase or like the last phrase of a song. And you're just like, cool. Like, yeah. I hate myself. Like, no. This is terrible.
What's your go-to 8-bar cut?
I guess for a while it was Alone by Heart.
Uh-huh. What part was it?
It was, I guess, verse into chorus into just like your two belty alones at the end.
I've never done an 8-bar cut, but mine would be, who am I? 2, 4, 6, so thank you.
Oh, yes.
Also, like, have no voice right now. Did you hear all the nodes?
Just like nosing. It's fine. We love like, it.
That's why I'm talking down here because I'm like, I have no upper register right now.
I know. And I was like, I can't sing anything right now either. Yeah. So that just like makes me feel like, okay, I'm doing something right, I think. And like, look, I hope people booked from that audition. I really do. But like, why would there ever be that many people there? Everybody's right for that show. Like, think about it really
right,
hard.
Right. We're not all pennies.
Right.
We're not all Tracys. We're not all seaweeds. It's like, be specific, you know?
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, God, it makes me, people were probably at that building at 3 a.m.
100%.
You know, and I just go, you could be devoting your artistry in so many other ways. You do not have to destroy your life
no.
and risk getting sick by standing outside. You do not have to
not
do that.
Not at all. And you reminded me of like, I guess another hyphenate for me. I've created a lot of my own work.
I was going to bring that up next.
Sorry.
So no. So you do create a lot of your own work. You had a great show with Alana.
Yeah, we did It's a Man's World, my friend Alana Gabrielle and I. And it was a show that we sung all men's songs. And honestly, like we say this story in our show because it's exactly what happened. We were like at brunch and like we basically do every Sunday. And we were like just, you know, talking about everything. And we were saying how we really want to do a show because we both went to Berkeley and we want to sing with a band and all of that stuff. And the idea just came because I tend to sing more guy songs. I love classic rock and all of that kind of stuff. And she feels the same way. And so we decided to band together and put on this awesome show. And then it got a little more like in the feminist route because of everything going on in the world
right.
and our beliefs and everything. But yeah, we produced it completely on our own.
Yeah.
We came up with the songs, we arranged some of them, you know, we obviously had people helping with like a lot of the music and we had a band and backup singers, but like, you know, and Michael took our photos and all of that amazing stuff. But like when it came down to it, we produced it. And like, that's a big deal, you know, to do for almost, I mean, it was our first time doing it, the first yeah. time that we did it. And like producing something. And
that was the fifth time you hit that, just letting you know.
I'm going to
definitely keeping
this mic thing. Out. 10,000 times. I can't
take a shot every time you hear Lindsay hit that mic.
They love me here, guys. And so we just like dove in. We didn't know what we were doing. And the first time, I think we spent more money than we ever had to, but we right. also learned the second time and did not do that the second time. You know, like right. you have to take risks. You have yeah. to do these things. And I couldn't be happier. It's so much fun. I love it.
And producing a cabaret, it's an exciting adventure, but it's also, it's not risk-free, but it's a good, right. it's a good environment to be able to take risks and fail.
Right.
And, you know, because at the end of the day, you're going to put on a show.
Yeah.
One show, maybe two in an evening. People will come.
Right.
And everyone will have a fun time.
Yes.
There's no commercial stakes to it. It's like you're not losing money. So it's pretty, if you want to start feeling what it's like, you know, put together a night of songs.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be so detailed. It could literally just be songs I love and you sing it and you don't have to have that much banter. Like there's so many different ranges of shows, types of shows you can put on depending on how much work you want to put into it, you know, or you start slow and then, you know, if you enjoy it, you can put on a whole scripted cabaret. You can yeah. do whatever, you know, you want. But the point is you're doing it. And it's yeah. it fulfills you. It's like, you know, the same way that I dove into doing makeup or whatever. Like, if I wasn't in a show at that time, I was like, I can't not be singing. So I'm going right. to do that. Like, I just want to be doing something.
But you also have a self-produced project that you do, and that's Empire Sessions.
Right.
So, and that's something completely on your own that it's, you know, you've kind of put together your resources. Resources is something that I talk a lot about with
absolutely.
Multi-hyphenating. You have to come up with a tribe where you can, you know, really use your resources and mm-hmm. really understand like who your resources are. And do you want to talk a little bit about Empire Sessions?
Yeah, or? Absolutely. So I was very blessed with this awesome studio apartment that I found like 6 years ago. My sister-in-law actually found it for me. And it has a really beautiful view of the Empire State Building. And again, like I saw that I have this amazing view. I was like, how can I take advantage of this? Like, what can I do? And I was like, I'm just going to like do cover songs in front of this view and then bring on friends to sing them with me. And, you know, it's more like an acoustic vibe. And I haven't done one in a while, but I am absolutely going to start doing them again. And I keep talking about it with Michael because it has to happen.
Yeah. We have to get that on the calendar.
Yeah. But
this is a good excuse now because you're talking about it on this podcast.
I know. So everybody stay tuned.
Yeah.
But it's really just a way to be creative, a way to put yourself out there. I can't even tell you. I mean, I can name two or three shows that I've booked because of content I have on yeah. social media. I mean, yeah. I feel like we can spiral into so many different conversations within one conversation, which is awesome. But yeah, so having content is really important. It fulfills you artistically, and it also just has, you know, it gives you something to put out there for people to see.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Linz, like, I think that you are such an amazing artist. You have such an identity of like who you are, but you also lead with wonder and discovery. You're always like at the edge of possibility and like wondering what's next, or mm-hmm. like how you can discover something new.
Totally.
And that's something that I see every day. And I know that people are affected by that in a positive way.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad that we were able to talk tonight.
Me too. This was so much fun and way less. I mean, I wasn't nervous because it's you.
Yeah.
But I just like, I know myself and I can jumble my words like crazy, but great. I feel like we did good.
Guys, everyone give it up for Lindsay.
Thanks.
You're great. I'll see you in the studio.
Literally.
Okay. Where can we find you?
Well, my Instagram is.
No, like, what's your address? No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I'm like, oh, you want to come over? Let's have a party.
That's funny.
My Instagram, I have two. I have my personal one, which is Linz Lav, LINDSLAV. And then I have my makeup page, which is Looks by Lavin. And otherwise, you know, just look me up, Lindsay Lavin. I'm on YouTube. I'm on all the things.
Yeah, she is. All right. Bye, babe.
Bye.
You're amazing. Love
You're
you.
Amazing. Thank you. Love you.
This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network. Make sure to find me online via Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at The Dressing Room Project, or on Twitter at MKushnerPhoto. And visit me online via bpn.fm/dearmultihyphenate.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.